And we give our lives to you again this morning and worship Jesus.
Our Father, we come to you this Lenten season as a church who has put its hope in you. Like the saints of old, we will come to you in worship and prayer to seek and experience your presence, to find our transformation and healing in you, and to find our purpose and calling in you. And we lift to you honest and heartfelt prayers, asking for provision and a deepening trust in your care for every part of our lives. On this fourth Sunday of Lent, we seek to learn from the prayers in Scripture how to come to you, depending on you to meet our every need. For by your hand, we will have all that sustains us. So now, O God, I pray over our church the simple words found in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer this morning. As we come to your word, illuminate it now that we might hear what you have to say to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Mason. Appreciate that. Good morning again, everybody. I'm Jeff. This is the series that we're in Lent. It's called Six Prayers That God's People Need to Know. I had the opportunity just a week and a half ago, something like that, to have lunch with a gentleman who's a director of a ministry in Uganda, and it's a ministry that takes care of kids who have been orphaned by the different situations that happen in Africa, and in particular, they've had a ton of kids orphaned by the LRA, the Lord's Resistance Army, coming through and taking children into slavery and wiping out their parents. And so you have kids just that run for the bushes and then end up taking care of themselves and just living out there until the Christians in Uganda have found these kids and invited them in to live in a safe environment, three meals a day and education, et cetera. It's fascinating ministry, and it's just, you know, it's just such a world so different than the one we live in today. But one of the things that struck me in the conversation that we had around lunch, he said that even after the kids had been there for quite some time, I mean, you know, full security compound in a little home with house moms taking care of them and three meals a day and classes and the cycle of just doing that day in and day out, they still were finding that even after kids had been there a long time, that they had been hiding bread under their mattress. They'd been taking food, they wouldn't eat their whole meal, and they would take their food and they'd put it under the mattress because they had no sense, even after they'd been there a while, they had no sense that maybe they would have food again when the next meal came. Because that sense of trauma of having been on their own and wondered where their meal was going to come from was very, very difficult to break. I was reflecting on that and I thought, oh my gosh, how different that experience is from mine, but I actually really resonate with it. And I think all of us do. I mean, we all have some version, some core wound, some version of this wound that says I'm probably on my own and I better figure it out and I better take care of myself because nobody's gonna take care of me and I don't know where the next thing's coming from. And most of us, thank God, don't have to worry about where the next meal is coming from. We have at least a couple of those lined up for us. But beyond that, it's the, am I gonna have the emotional need to face what it is that I'm about to face today? Am I gonna have the spiritual oomph to deal with the trial that's coming my way? Am I gonna have the professional competency to handle what's on my calendar today and tomorrow and these meetings and that meeting with the boss, et cetera? Like, these are the things that we all carry. And it's a sense in which we're like squirreling things under our mattress because we're like, I don't know if I'm going to have what it is that I need today. I think this is what all we do. And Jesus, knowing this, wanted to address this in the prayer that he taught his people to pray. And so this is my prayer that all of God's people need to know out of the six that we're talking about. And it is the simple phrase, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now this, I could have said, you know, one six prayers God's people need to know. We could have said, you know, the whole Lord's Prayer, right? Because Jesus said, I mean, he taught on this basic thing a couple of different places. And he said, you know, this is how you should pray. Now listen. And so that should be one that we should know. But it's super long. And so rather than doing a whole series on that, this was the phrase that stuck out to me as I was reflecting on the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And so before studying the concepts around it and looking at the power of the basic message that Jesus is giving us there, I wanted us to look at it in context. This is Matthew 6 is one of the places that he teaches this. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. And he teaches it again a different place in Luke, but we'll look at it in just a minute. But within the Sermon on the Mount, this is how you should pray. And then Jesus starts teaching about prayer. The context of it is, if you look at the scripture there, Matthew 6, starting in verse 6, remember the context about this is that he's saying, look, don't pray in a way that basically gets you some sort of spiritual status in the room of believers. Like, that's not what this is about. It's about you and your need before God. So verse 6, he says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. This is interesting. Pagans are people, that's a technical word for people who don't know God. They don't know God. He goes, don't keep babbling like them. Don't just keep talking all the time because they actually think that they'll be heard because of their many words. It's like a magical incantation that they don't really have a belief in God. So they think that if they just keep talking that maybe they'll get their way, or they're just sort of, our version of that could be, you know, reaffirming positive thoughts and then positive things are going to happen or something. But actually, I'm sharing this context with you about where he's going, because he's saying that's actually not you. That's people who don't know God. They think they're going to be heard because of their many words. Then look at verse 8. Don't be like them, for your Father knows, and I love that he used the word Father, not your Lord, not your God, not God of creator of the universe. Your Father who loves you knows what you need even before you ask him. So, we've got this heart of God that's with us, that's engaged in our prayer. This then, he says, verse 9, is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. We've been doing this as our benediction for off and on now for years. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then that phrase that I want you to remember as a phrase, as a prayer that God's people need to know. Give us today our daily bread. Isn't that a great context? God knows what you need. He's waiting for you to come to him, you and him alone, quiet. And it says, tell me your heart. What are you squirreling away under your mattress? What are you worried about that you're not going to have? Come to me. And we pray, give us today what I need. Give us today our daily bread. So Matthew 6:11 says, give us today our daily bread. And Luke, a passage where Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, it's not a parallel passage, it's not the Sermon on the Mount, but it's a different place where he's teaching his disciples. They say, hey, teach us to pray. You're our teacher. Teach us to pray. Luke 11 uses the word, give us each day our daily bread. And it's different. So two places Jesus talks about this. One place he says, give us today our daily bread. The second place he says, give us each day our daily bread. That's a version of this prayer that God's people need to know. You're like, well, what does that really mean? Matthew 6:11 is give us today our daily bread. Could be paraphrased, provide what I need today. But Luke 11, give us each day our daily bread, could be paraphrased and provide what I will need tomorrow. And by implication, and every day after that. So here's Jesus. We're like, how do we pray? Embedded in his teaching on how to pray, he goes, come and ask me for what you need today. Trust me for what you need tomorrow. Because every day, he said in another place, has enough trouble of its own, but I'm going to keep coming day after day after day to give you what you need. And so come and talk to me about it. This is a prayer that God's people need to know. This is such a familiar text that as a way of studying it biblically, I thought, you know, just rather than just emphasizing those words, give us today or give us each day our daily bread, that I just wanted to give you that as an introduction, that I kind of thought I would turn the points of today's teaching into alternate wording. What's embedded? What are the truths that are embedded in the breadth and the depths of Jesus using this language to say, you need to pray this way. Give us today our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread. Provide what I need today, provide what I need tomorrow. What was Jesus really getting at by using that language? And so I have some alternate prayers. And at the end of this morning, I'm actually going to be asking you, which is the phrase that the Lord, after all these things that we're just talking about, that the Lord's kind of having you take away this week that will you'll add to your prayer life this week, that, you know, the post-it note thing or the putting on your dashboard or your mirror, that you're like, oh, that's a prayer I need to be praying this week. Give us this day, give us today our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread as a good start. But I'm going to give you some other related prayers, okay? And so maybe you're a note taker, maybe you just have photographic memory and you're listening to every word I say and you're never going to forget a word of it. That's awesome. But by the end, I want you to kind of walk away with, this is going to be my prayer this week, this part of this. Okay, you with me on that? Okay, so first, give us this day our daily bread means this. And it's the basic meaning of it. You're not going to be surprised at this. It means I'm trusting you to provide what I need. I'm trusting you, God, to provide what I need. And hear that, by the way, I kind of changed the phrase because this is what Jesus is implying. It isn't so much, give us today, give us today, give us today. The context is he knows what you need before you ask him, right? Remember that part? And so really, the prayer is really about acknowledging you're going to give me today, God. I'm trusting you to provide. You will provide. It's what you want to do. You're not a stingy ogre. You are a loving father who knows what I need before I ask it. And if you think of all the ways that Jesus talked about prayer, he's like, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a rock? Like, you know, this is how God treats, this is how people treat their kids. How much more your Father in heaven who loves you? Like, he's going to be so generous. And so we're going to have this sense that he's going to provide for us already. But when you think about it, I'm trusting you to provide what I need. The picture of daily bread, we have to talk about that idea. The picture of daily bread, like give us today our daily bread, that comes from the Old Testament. Does anybody want to wager a guess as to what the daily bread picture is in the Old Testament? Manna. This is a picture of some of you were like, how did that guy know that answer? I had no idea what the answer was. This is a picture of ancient Israelites. They've been rescued from slavery in Egypt in the Exodus, and they're wandering in the wilderness on the way to the promised land, and they didn't have food because there were maybe up to 2 million of them wandering around in the desert. It's crazy when you think about it. And they didn't have enough food. They're starting to think, see, this is why I'm not going to trust God, because we're going to come out here and starve to death and die of thirst. And so God provides for them manna. Look at Exodus 16 for just a couple of verses here. It's in Exodus 16. If you haven't read it in a while or you've never read the story, you've got to go read the story. It is so fascinating. But in Exodus, then the Lord said to Moses, so God tells Moses, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. And these people are going to go out each day and gather enough for that day. And then on through the text into verse 12, and in the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. See, the picture was not just about sustaining the 2 million people who had needed to have some meals because they were going to be running from their captives and into a land that they didn't know yet. It wasn't just about pragmatism, though it was very pragmatic. It was also, see verse 12, so that you will know that I'm the Lord your God. He was establishing a relationship with them to say, if you give your life to me, I will provide for you everything that you need for whatever it is that you're facing. Come on, is that a word for somebody in this room this morning? I will give you everything that you need for whatever it is that you are facing. And so he took them into the wilderness. He gave them this bread. I'm trusting you to provide what I need is the way I'm paraphrasing this. This is what God did through Moses and then rained bread down manna on heaven. And it's so good. Manna needs, manna in Hebrew means what is it? They had bread raining down from heaven and they were like, what's it called? And they're like, let's call it, what is this? It was God's miraculous provision for them. And Jesus, when we're saying, Jesus, how should we pray? One of the things he says is, I'm going to give you daily bread. And immediately the Jewish people thought back to that story and said, 2 million people desperate, miraculously every day it came down from heaven. And if you go read the story, right, they had enough for the day. And then on the sixth day, they were to pick up 2 days worth of bread so that on the seventh day they would have enough. They weren't supposed to collect more. If they collected more, it rotted in front of them as a testimony to, why are you sticking that under your mattress? I'm going to provide for you what you need. Tomorrow's another day. I'll give you what you need for what it is that you're facing. So this prayer of, I'm trusting you to provide what I need, the prayer is, I've devoted my life to you and this way of living, like I'm out here behind you in the desert, God, like I'm going to be yours. I'm not staying in Egypt. I'm your person. I'm following you, and I'm going to trust you for all my needs. And me asking you and you providing help is so that I will know that you are God and that I'm yours. I belong to you. God kept saying, you're my people. I'm going to take care of you. Like, you have to trust in that. And so when Jesus said, hey, church, don't forget this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. He's saying, trust me to provide what you need, and I'm going to keep showing up and proving that I'm God and that you are mine. Does anybody have a testimony to that being true in your life? And yet we keep, you know, we all freak out, and that's understandable. And so we every day pray some version of prayer. Give us today our daily bread. I'm trusting you to provide what I need. And again, think about all the ways that that applies to your life, all the things that you need for your emotional life, spiritual life, mental life, vocational life, parenting life, all of it. So give us this day our daily bread means at least I'm trusting you to provide what I need. Remember, the message of manna in the wilderness, just to sum it, is that they would learn to trust him for their needs. They would trust him for their needs. They had no other way to meet their needs. They'd learn to be content with what he gave, because this is miraculous taking care of them. And then they were like, I'm getting a little sick of manna. And remember, quail was involved. And they were still whining. They're like, let's go back. Where's the vegetables? We want to go back to Egypt, blah, blah, blah. And the Lord's like, I'm going to provide so much quail. He says it's going to come out of your nostrils. Like, it's like, I'm providing for you. So be content with what you have. And that they would then learn to not be distracted by their own efforts, by their own abundance, by their own taking care of themselves, by that core wound lie that we all have, that I'm probably on my own. But they would remember day in and day out that he chose them. They belonged to him. So I'm trusting you to provide what I need. The New Testament message is super clear on this too. You think about Philippians chapter 4, where Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content. You know that verse? Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Anybody know the next phrase? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's this message of Paul saying, whatever God gives, I'm going to be good, and I'm going to trust that it's going to be enough for me. He's going to provide everything that I need. And Hebrews 13:5 nails it. You should probably write this verse down. This is what it says. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. Oh, just raise a hand. Who's that speak to right now? Speak to anybody other than me? That is a word. So I'm trusting you to provide what I need. That's at least one of the things that give us this day our daily bread means. Second, and this is a little weird. You're going to have to hang with me. This is a prayer that I think could be a paraphrase of it. I have entered the promised land of the new creation, and Jesus is now my daily bread. I've entered the promised land of the new creation. This isn't the old story of the Exodus of the wandering. Think about these phrases now. I've entered the promised land. When Jesus referred to manna, you guys, he was referring to the Exodus, referring to that God was freeing his people from slavery. This is what God was doing. And Jesus was getting us to remember and think about that and realize he's going to rescue us, the whole world, from slavery to sin, and he's going to bring about the promised land of the new creation. He says we're new creatures in Christ. So we get to walk with God now. And he's saying, just like they were rescued from slavery and became my people, I am rescuing you from slavery to sin, and you will be my people. And just like I took care of them as they were wandering toward the promised land, I will take care of you as you're wandering toward the full restoration, toward the full kingdom coming. And so I've entered, so the prayer of when Jesus said, here's how you should pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're actually thinking about being Old Testament people in the desert, and we're like, that's actually me now, and I'm walking toward full restoration with God, but I'm a new creation, and I belong to him, like all the things we just said, and he's giving me actually daily bread, provision, sustenance, which is himself. And you're like, where do you get that? This is Jesus's point. In John chapter 6, he said it out loud. You read the whole second half of John chapter 6, and he keeps talking about manna and Moses and daily bread. But this is the summary of that text. I don't have it in front of me, so I want to see John chapter 6. Our ancestors ate man in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. But Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. He's like, me taking care of you is not about the bread like manna. It's actually true bread from heaven. What you need is not just food. What you need is spiritual rescue and sustenance and nourishment. So the text then goes on to say, Jesus, for the bread that of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us that bread then. Like, let's go. I want that bread. And Jesus declared, I'm it. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. When Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, he was hinting at, we've come so far since manna in the desert. I am everything to you. Jesus is our daily bread. We're new creatures. We're moving toward the promised land. We're moving toward restoration of the kingdom fully. And as we're in the wilderness on the way, every day Jesus will give us himself. He's our sustenance in this new creation as we're making our way through the wilderness. Give us this day our daily bread. Means, Jesus, we need you. Because if I come to you, I'm never going to hunger for anything else. And if I come to you, all my longings, my thirst will be satisfied. And so every day I'm going to come to you. I don't know what else to tell us, church. I don't know what else to lean into. Except that Jesus is the answer. Everything that we're longing for, every unmet need in our heart, every developmental stage that we're arrested in and that we're looking for healing and transformation in, I'm looking at the psychologists in the room, everything that we're looking for is found in Jesus, in a relationship with him. And so that's our daily bread. I hope, by the way, let me just get really basic. I hope, by the way, that every single day in your life, you find a place to get alone with Jesus, pray some version of this prayer, read some part of his word, and say, you're everything that I need, and I trust you for everything that I need today. Or you can watch the Today Show. Those are your two options in the morning. I don't know. Give us this day our daily bread means I am in the new creation. I've entered the promised land, and Jesus is my sustenance. Third, the other thing that give us this day our daily bread means is keep my heart close and don't let me forget you. Keep my heart close and don't let me forget you. You guys, this is an incredible heartfelt prayer. Keep my heart close. Don't let me forget. You're like, really? Does it mean that? Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, because when you go back to the idea of it, of getting manna in the wilderness, it was about, remember, learning to trust God. It was about learning to remember that he was the one who brought everything that we needed, because we as human beings forget. You go back, there's a summary of sort of the meaning of the point of manna in the wilderness in Deuteronomy 8. I really recommend to you Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 18, going and meditating on the whole half of that chapter. But just look at a couple of verses, Deuteronomy 8, 2. Remember how the Lord your God, this is Moses encouraging God's people, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness those 40 years. He led you. He led you for 40 years to humble and to test you. Whoa, the wilderness, there is a humbling and a testing that goes on when we're in the not yet. Now we're walking with God, but we're not yet in the full restoration. There's a humbling and a testing that goes on. He said, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Don't get lost on this. This isn't like God's like, oh, this is a test. Are you going to pass it? What he's saying is, I'm going to put you in a place of testing so that you might know your heart and that you might say, you're the one I want, God. I keep looking to my own way. I keep stashing food under my mattress. I keep living in anxiety, but you're actually, you keep testing me and I'll know, oh, you're the one that provides manna. tomorrow morning manna, tomorrow morning quail, tomorrow night quail, tomorrow morning manna, tomorrow night quail. Like this, you're it. And verse 3, he humbled you, he says, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. What is this? To teach you that man, human beings, do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In other words, we were in the wilderness, and part of that was to learn that what we needed was not just food, but it was God's faithfulness to us. Go down to verse 10 of that passage. And when you have eaten, and this is the point of why I'm bringing you to this text, and when you have eaten and are satisfied, what he's meaning here is the paragraph in between that I'm skipping is about they're going to enter the promised land, and it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, and they're going to cultivate crops, and they're going to drink wine, and they're going to milk and honey in the whole nine yards. And then he says in verse 10, listen, this is heart-wrenching. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. In the wilderness, they couldn't forget because they were desperate, and every day they were like, oh, manna. Oh, he's providing. But when they went into the land, if they didn't acknowledge the Lord, they would start thinking they deserved it. They would start thinking they earned it. They would start thinking it was because of them that their life was so awesome, and they would forget God. The point again is, this is a prayer of keep my heart close. Don't let me forget you. This is the heart of Jesus's prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Because it's a prayer, not just a provision. Mostly it's a prayer of devotion. It's a prayer to say, God, you have been giving us every day. Even though I've got a job and there's food in the cupboard, like I do not want to forget you. I do not want to forget that you've been good to me all along. A common concern for us as God's people, even today, that we lapse in our devotion and we start living like pragmatic agnostics. Like it doesn't really matter whether God exists or not because we're taking care of all of our needs. And we're not remembering everything that we've learned so far in this sermon, everything the word teaches, that we are his, everything we have is from him, that he has purchased us and rescued us from slavery. And even though we're wandering in the wilderness, he's the one that provides everything we need every day for everything that we're going to face. And our lives are for him. They are by him and they are for him. And we cannot afford to forget that. So give us this day our daily bread is a heart-wrenching plea. Don't let me forget you. Keep me close. Don't let me forget you. Keep me close. The writer of Proverbs says this in all wisdom in Proverbs 30. He says, two things I'm going to ask from the Lord. God, give me two things before I die. And one of them is really weird. He goes, keep falsehood and lies from me. Go reflect on that. I don't know. That's one of the two things he doesn't want to forget at the end of his life. And I think it's about let me be true and real and loving. Like, let me be the real me and not take advantage of other human beings. That'll preach all day long. Two things I need from you, Lord. One is keep me from falsehood and keep lies far from me. But the second thing, look at it. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but only my daily bread. Why? Because otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? That applies to us, you guys, in the 99th percentile. That applies to everybody, whether they're living in plenty or in want, but it really applies to us. That we would forget the Lord and say, who are you? And to put a fine point on it, Hosea just nails it. The Lord, speaking through the prophet Hosea, nails it. This is what he says. I've been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. There it is, right? I've been your God. I've been in your story. I've led you through the wilderness. I've captured your hearts. I've rescued you. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the desert, in the land of the burning heat. And this terrifying verse that God says, when I fed them, they were satisfied. And when they were satisfied, they became proud. And when they became proud, they forgot me. May that not be, church. May that not be that whether we're in denial over our needs because we don't want to look needy, or whether we're in denial of our needs because we've got it all figured out and we're cruising and we've got bread in the cupboard. Give us this day our daily bread is a prayer of devotion, not just provision. Let me come to you for everything I need, and let me not forget that it's you who gives it to me. You are for me, and I am for you. So, you guys, this is the phrase as you look at this week. It could just be, give us this day our daily bread. These are the prayers of provision and devotion, and I want you to look, and I want you to grab one of these as a way to as a takeaway. Put that list up there, Andrea, prayers of provision and devotion. Give us today our daily bread. Give us each day. Maybe that's the one that resonates with you. Just give us, God, look, I'm dependent on you. Give us each day. Give us every day. Tomorrow I'm going to trust you for what I need. I'm trusting you to provide what I need. Maybe it's I've entered into the promised land of the new creation and Jesus is now my daily bread. And maybe your prayer is, keep my heart closed. Don't let me forget you. Stephen, as you sit before the Lord right now, is there one of those where you're like, I got to grab that one? This was a word for me today. I'm going to invite the band out. We're going to worship, but I'm actually going to come down here for a minute, just 2 minutes with you guys, and I just want to ask you, is there anybody that would just want to give, share with me which one of these that you picked and maybe why? Which struck with you? I just, as a way to encourage one another, is there somebody who would just, I know this is intimidating, you aren't ready. Yeah, Greg, what was yours?
The last one, keep my heart close, don't let me forget you, especially as I make my way through the day.
As you make your way through the day, because that's the thing that happens every day, doesn't it? Yeah, thank you, Greg. Somebody else, what's what one that resonates with you? Yeah, Shantae.
Give us today our daily bread. I think it hits because it's just easy for me to focus on the Lord and what he's providing for me each day. And so just keeping myself mindful of that.
Totally. That's why gratitude's so powerful, right? Because we're mindful that he knows your needs. He knows before you ask, he's going to give it to you. And so it's like, Lord, let me trust you for it. Be aware of it so I can live in that gratitude. The other thing that's so powerful about gratitude, right, is that when we get ungrateful, we have a whole testimony to remember. Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
I like the one where it says, I am trusting you to provide what I need.
Yeah.
What? What I think I need. But what he thinks I need.
That'll preach. Did you hear that? Not what I think I need, but what he thinks that I need. Good. One more. Is there two more? Somebody want to share? Love to hear. Yeah.
I have entered the promised land.
I've entered the promised land. Yeah.
And Jesus is now my daily bread because I think about like sometimes with the problems in the top of the world, in the country, in my life, I forget that I am already a new creation.
Yeah.
Jesus is taking care of me, and I have a lot of work to do with his, I mean, worship him, like my actions, and I work with children, and that's very important to me to always, I pray every day that my actions and my words.
Nice.
Will be pleasing to him.
Yeah.
Thank
you. She was saying that with everything that's going on in our world today, to recognize that we are a new creation and we have work to do, we have worship to do, we have a way to keep growing in that, but we're going to be with everything that God has given us. We're going to live into that new creation and Jesus is going to give you what you need for that. That's good. All right, one last one. Yeah, Diane.
Don't let me forget.
Don't let me forget. Yeah.
It's only by his grace, and I daily need to be humbled by that thought and worship of him.
I don't know if you heard that, but daily I need to be reminded of that thought that I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it, and God gave it to me, and I need to be remembering that every day in worship. As we move toward worship, you guys, this morning, I just want to pray these phrases for us and give voice to them one more time. Give us today, Lord, our daily bread. Give us what we need today. And give us each day our daily bread. Give us what we need tomorrow. We're going to trust you to provide what I need. I'm going to trust you to provide what we need for everything that we're going to face. And we have entered the promised land of the new creation. We are new creatures in Jesus. And Jesus, you are now our daily bread. And as we come to you, we will never be hungry. Not truly. And we will never be thirsty. Because you're everything that we need. And so we draw close to you now, Jesus. So keep our hearts close. Give us today our daily bread, God. Give us, not just give us the stuff, but draw our hearts close. Don't let us forget you. Don't let us, when our bellies are full, when things are going okay, don't let us forget you. For you still continue to be the giver of all good gifts and everything that we need. And I don't want to forget that. I don't want to live like you do not exist. For you are my everything. And we stand now and honor you and worship you because you are the bread of life. Let's stand, church, and respond.